went into one of them electronic stores yesterday to buy an SD card. You know, that little thing that you put in your computer and it, you put things on it. I don't know how to describe it. I'm not up on that stuff. So I bought this SD card and I'm going up to the cashier. And there's this young lady who's the cashier. And she says, did you find everything you're looking for? I said, well, yes, as far as SD cards are concerned, yes. I do have some things in my life that I would like to possess, but I don't have them right now. But thank you for asking. She tittered with her little titters. And then she said, may I have your email address? I said, why? What do you want my email address for? Says, oh, this is for the records. We can send you valuable information on some deals that we have coming up in the store. I said, no, here's really what I want to do. I'm going to give you cash. I have cash on me. I'm going to give it to you. You give me whatever change back comes to me. You take the SD card, you put it in a bag, and I leave. That's pretty much what I had expected to occur here. And she looked at me, and she said, you don't want to give me your email address? I said, well, you give me your email address. And she said, well, then can I have your phone number? I said, well, no, you give me your phone number. So anyway, so we're going out for dinner Friday night.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
That was a lie. We're not going out to dinner.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you today? Good to be with you. You're looking pretty good today. Oh! Yeah, you are. I had one of my sleepless nights last night. I'm sure you have this every once in a while where you have a tremendous amount of gas and you can't sleep or something. I don't know what it was. Something. I couldn't sleep well through the night. So I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, not on purpose. And I don't know. I couldn't go back to sleep. I was kind of bored. So I turned on the television and you're not supposed to do that. I've done many, many interviews on this show and no matter what the subject matter is, they all say, don't turn the TV on at 3 o'clock in the morning. You'll never get back to sleep. Well, it's absolutely true. But there is a world of television at 3 o'clock in the morning that doesn't exist through the rest of the day. And it's fascinating. And I'm mesmerized by it. Of course, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm mesmerized by everything because I'm half asleep. But I'm mesmerized by this. There's a there's a thing called the Roomba vacuum. Have you seen this thing? It's called a Roomba. It's a robot. It looks like a little flying saucer. It's a round disc. And it's a machine, and you put it on your carpet, you turn it on, and this little Roomba disc circular thing, it just takes off by itself, and it starts cleaning your carpet randomly. It just you don't have to vacuum. This thing just goes all day. And apparently it cleans the carpet. And whenever they're demonstrating this thing on television, this little, they're always doing it like in a little 4x4 area. And of course that area is clean. How can this little thing clean a whole house? It's absurdly ridiculous. I can't believe they're still, I know one person that actually has it. And I said to him, I said, does this thing actually work? He says, oh yeah, it works beautifully. I said, don't lie to me. Don't lie. You're lying to me. It can't possibly work beautifully. It doesn't make any sense. This little disc, just like it just bumps into walls and it cleans a particular area like for 3 hours until it bumps its way somewhere else. It reminds me of my grandfather who couldn't see that well when he got older, and he's perfectly lucid, but he just keeps bumping into walls. And I might as well just have given him a broom and a dustpan and said, go for it. I mean, it's just absurd. It just looks moronic. It just keeps bumping into things. It bumps into the coffee table and it turns around and it goes, I don't know what I'm doing. It's just the stupidest thing in the world. And here's something that nobody actually thinks about, but of course I do, because this is the problem with my brain. It's a round disc. It's a round disc robot thing. It looks like a little flying saucer. It's round. Most rooms, if not all of them, have corners. So how can this vacuum thing, this circular thing, clean anything in any corner? Your rugs look beautiful, but your corners are full of crap. I mean, this thing cannot reach a corner. It can't do it. You can't do the round peg in a square hole thing. Roomba my ass. I mean, I'm serious. I can't. And it's very expensive. It's like well over $300. How lazy do you have to be? What if you hired a maid service like that? You wouldn't do that. Yeah, could you just vacuum the rug here? Okay. And she just like bumps into walls with the vacuum. I mean, you'd fire her. And, of course, I'm assuming it's a she. Very sexist of me, right? You would fire the person in a second. What are you doing? You're just bumping you're bumping into walls. What do you? Your cleaning service? Isn't that interesting, though, what I just did there? Isn't that interesting? I can't think of too many. There are certain occupations that are still dominated almost exclusively by females. I've never seen a male maid. I guess maid's even the wrong term. A male house cleaner. I never have. I'm sure they exist somewhere, but my eyes have not gazed upon them. Isn't that interesting? I've also never seen a female landscaper. No. No. I've traveled lawns all over the country, and it's usually guys mowing lawns, the professional landscaping maintenance companies. I don't think I've ever seen a female. I don't know why not. They're capable of doing that job, just like a male is capable of vacuuming your rugs. But never the two sexes shall meet in those two occupations. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just pointing it out. That's all. Anyway, and then there's another infomercial for a vacuum cleaner, and it's the Dyson vacuum cleaner. Now, look, I've owned many vacuum cleaners in my life. I've never spent $400 for a vacuum cleaner. And of course, they say this is the only vacuum cleaner that you'll ever need to own. Yeah, for 3 months. I mean, I've never had a vacuum cleaner that was as efficient as it was when it came out of the box. And that's what they do on television. They take this brand new vacuum cleaner, and a brand new vacuum cleaner will suck up everything. It will suck up people. It will suck up your pets. Everything comes up in a brand new vacuum cleaner. And every time, and I've bought brand new vacuum cleaners many times in my life, and every time I do, I'm always fooled by them. And so it's like, this is the best vacuum cleaner ever. It's sucking everything up. This is wonderful. I made an incredible vacuum cleaner choice. I mean, I've bought like 12, 24 vacuums in my life. This one is incredible. Yeah. After five uses, hey, what the hell? I'm going over this piece of dirt five times. It's not sucking up. The vacuum, I clean the dust out of it. I empty the filter, and it's still not sucking like it did when it came out of the box. No. No, because they don't. That's the one item where it sucks immediately. Everything else I buy works fine, and then after 3 or 4 months, it starts sucking. This vacuum cleaners are opposite. It sucks immediately. Of course, you notice a little play on words where the two verbs are completely different. I about 3 years ago, I was these infomercials were very popular. It was for the Gotham Steel nonstick fry pan. I think it's a 10-inch fry pan. There are other companies that do this as well, and they claim nothing will stick to this pan. And I like to do a lot of cooking. Anybody who cooks would love the opportunity not to have food stick to the pan because it's a bitch to clean afterwards. On this infomercial, they are touting how nothing sticks to this pan. Nothing sticks to the pan. Nothing. You can take a block of cheese, burn the hell out of it, and it'll just slide right out of the pan. Well, I've seen a lot of burnt cheese in my life. Burnt cheese don't slide. But apparently on this television infomercial, it does. Nothing sticks to this pan. You could take your hand and put it right in the pan and burn the skin off, and the skin will come right off of the pan. That's not true. Don't try that at home, I'm just saying. Then they go further and they say, okay, not only does nothing stick to this pan, but you can put the pan in your driveway and run over it with your car, and the pan will be just fine. That's right. I can't tell you the number of times where I was backing out of my garage, and damn it, there's that nonstick pan in the driveway, and I run over it every time. I don't know how the pan makes it out to the driveway, but it does. So, that demonstration is a little bit ridiculous. It's a lot of bit ridiculous. This pan is indestructible. You can take a metal fork, a metal knife, and scrape the hell out of it and still use it, and food won't stick to the pan. It's indestructible. It cannot be destroyed. It shall live on for millions of years after you're gone. This nonstick pan for $19.95. So I bought the damn thing 3 years ago, and I used it, and I got to tell you, the first two, three times I used it, nothing stuck to that pan. The fourth time, everything was sticking to the pan. Apparently, you don't need to put down any butter or any nonstick cooking spray or anything. It's supposed to actually be very healthy for you because you don't have to use butter and oil and stuff because nothing sticks to it. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And they have a money-back guarantee. And I guarantee you for $19.95, no one's going to send a dirty pan back to the place. You're just going to say, oh, well, I've been taken. I lost $20. That's really all anybody does. You don't take the dirty pan and send it back. I mean, that's just stupid. I would feel stupid doing that. So the nothing that sticks to this pan has turned into everything sticks to this pan. And I guess it's just another lesson. Don't believe what they tell you. Everything's a marketing sales con job. And then came the 2016 presidential election. And man, I was taken. Oh! All right, I'm not going to get into political talk. I'm just saying. That election reminded me a lot of the nonstick pan. Anyway, fine. Hey, we've got a great show for you today, and you're probably saying, yeah, well, when is that going to start? That's funny.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Don't worry, no one has to know. This is just between you and me and Ron. We cool?
I don't know if you've noticed this, but it's pretty freaking hot outside. Kids are going to be going back to school rather soon, which is a good thing. I had to go through it, so you should too. I spent 12 years of my life sitting in a classroom watching the world go by, wasting my time. So you have to do that too. If I'm going to suffer through it, so will you. If I'm going to waste 12 years of my life, you're going to waste even more, believe me. I'm not saying I didn't learn anything in school at all. Yeah, I guess I am. I learned nothing in school at all. All I learned was how to watch seconds tick off a clock. That's about it. And how to fantasize about things that weren't going on in front of my face. That's about it. How to wonder what my future would be like. And that's about it. Ron, didn't you learn how to add and subtract? Yeah, I did, but guess what they came up with in the interim? Calculators. Yeah. When I went to school, it was just an abacus. Some millennials don't even know what an abacus is, I guarantee you. Yeah, now there's calculators. There's no point to learning how to add and subtract. I mean, who doesn't by osmosis, you know, like 2 minus 4 is like negative 2. I don't know. I don't even know. See, I don't even know. I have a calculator with me. I spent years being taught how to write script. Some of you don't even know what that is. When you sign your name, that's like script. You know, that's what they called script. They taught you how to do that like really elegantly so people could read that. And now like nobody does that. Everybody prints or types it in on your keyboard. I mean, nobody writes in script anymore. That was a total waste of 12 years. I took history classes. What was the point of that? People told me about history. My parents taught me about history. I read about history. I didn't need some schmuck standing in front of me telling me about things that already happened. Tell me about the things that haven't happened yet that I should be aware of. Stuff that happened in the past? Get over it, man. Get over it. Besides, half of the history stuff that I learned was lies anyway. Columbus discovering America like nobody ever found it before. I mean, all this stuff, it was not true. Some of it was, some of it wasn't. Then they put out this book called The Bible. I mean, I guess it could be accurate. It depends where your head's at. I don't really understand what I learned in school. Took a biology class for like 3 years, which was mandatory in middle school, junior high school, whatever you want to call it. They taught me how to dissect a frog. I never needed that information, apparently. There was no reason for me to dissect animals. I never came up. It never came up. I took French for 4 years. You had to take a language in school, so I chose French, the language of love. I remember some of it, but not 4 years worth. And I got to tell you something, I haven't met many French people in my life, and the ones that I have met spoke pretty good English. Didn't come up, didn't need it, there was no reason for it. Waste of time. English class. I took English class. Guess what? I could already speak it. Taught me how to read books. Guess what? My parents taught me how to read. Not any school. And if I wanted to read stuff, I would read it. English classes simply were people telling me, go home and read this. Thanks. Thanks for making me sit in your classroom for 2 hours so you could tell me to go home and read a book. What was the point of that? We never discussed anything that was topical. They have newspapers for that and television news shows and things like that. Walter Cronkite was the guy on television when I was growing up. Well, I was just a little tot at that time. I can't really think of anything that school really did for me in that 12-year general education span. Now, of course, every teacher and every person is going to say, Ron, you're really off the mark and you're really giving a bad message. Think about it. School is not for learning. School is for socializing. It's the place you go to get ridiculed and bullied. Everybody needs it. Either you're the bully or the bully victim. That's what the socializing is. That's where you meet your first person of sexual desire. Sometimes you enact that in your high school years, perhaps even junior high school, middle school. It's a social club. It's a place for people to gather. You're being socialized. All school does is put you in the frame of mind of wanting to learn. Half the people that go to school for 12 years don't ever pick up that message and don't want to learn. And those that do, do. Those that don't, don't. A smart person is not really a product of an educational system. They're a product of their parents or parent. If your parent relates to you, educates you, talks to you, spends time with you, you're going to be one of those intelligent people. If you've been prompted through your life, through your childhood, to be curious, to discover, to inquire, to be inquisitive, you'll be a smart, successful person. No piece of paper in your hand is going to give you intelligence. You stay aware, you stay observant, you listen, you ask questions, and you take in information. I'm not saying that school doesn't do that. I'm not saying that school does. The day that I found out that a child can go to school with his or her cell phone and Google things, I said to myself, that's it. We're done. When the internet and Google become your major source of information, hang up your coat, get on a boat, and get the hell out of here because it's over. It's just over. It's the person themselves that makes themselves who they are. I've met a lot of stupid people in my life. I mean, legitimately stupid, where I can't discuss really anything. Everything that I say to them is a revelation. It's like, wow, what happened to you? And in most cases, they were not sitting around intelligent, educated people. They weren't sucking in information because there was no information to be sucked. They were not sucking in information. Like a Roomba vacuum cleaner, where the only information that you're getting is just in a certain area, and your vacuum is never reaching the corners.
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish, or maybe bagel and a schmear, but you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dances. These girls are so nice, you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her, so live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
Okay. All right. Whatever. There's been a lot of experimentation with driverless cars. Let me tell you something. That concept scares the hell out of me. Cars always scare the hell out of me. They really do. Because there are people driving them. And I don't know about you, but I run into people all the time. And a lot of them really shouldn't be driving or actually walking the planet at all. So these driverless cars come into play where I guess you're in the car with it, but the car drives itself because of all the technology. You're figuring that cars make less mistakes on their own than when you're driving it. I'll tell you a little story. This is how far technology has come and how far it has not. I have a desktop computer. I have a few of them for radio and studio purposes, music purposes, personal purposes, business purposes, all kinds of things. Every once in a while, my computer will crash or do something crazy. Or it's really slow, or something's wrong with it, and I cannot operate my computer until I have it looked at or fixed or diagnosed or something. I've also learned that my computer can be hacked. There's things like ransomware and all these kinds of things. My reliance upon computers is nil. They don't work all the time. I think people work better than computers do. I've known some people for 50 years, which is about all of my life, and they're rather consistently stupid or intelligent or whatever, but they operate rather well. I don't think I've been with a computer that didn't have any problems for more than maybe a month or two. So you're telling me that you're going to let a computer drive itself in a large armored weapon that can mow people down or send me crashing into walls or into other computer-driven cars. And I can do nothing about it because I'm not driving. I don't quite get that. That reliance upon computers makes me very nervous. Makes me more nervous than a drunk on the road, which makes me extremely nervous. How do I know that any given car on the road, if I'm in a driverless car, is not going to malfunction? I don't. So I don't understand this driverless car thing. And if a driverless car hits a pedestrian, who's responsible for that? The driverless car? I think the person that owns the driverless car would be responsible, or would I sue the driverless car company? I have no idea. I don't think this thing's been legally thought out. The other side of the coin with the driverless car is, I kind of like driving. It kind of is pleasant. I don't want to be driven. I see these movies and, I watch these people, in these limousines or, they have a chauffeur, and they sit in the back. I don't want to sit in the back. I want to sit in the front seat. I don't want to be driven around. You're taking the fun out of it for me. I know you can take me from place to place, but what am I supposed to do while you're doing that? Driving gives you something to do. It activates your mind. It makes your mind think on all different levels, subconsciously, consciously, all kinds of stuff. Those are the only two, I guess. Driving is a stimulation. It's a mind stimulation. Don't take that away from me. I want to drive. And what about most of us control freaks? That's 3/4 of the population. We're control freaks. We want to be in control. Don't take that away from us. It's just another thing that has been robbed from my existence. Don't do that. Stop it. I was going to have a guest today, but actually we're out of time, so we're going to take our guest and throw them back into the ocean, back into the pool of interviews, and we'll run that interview another time. My guest today was going to be talking about acne, a young lady who suffered from acne when she was a child and was ridiculed in school. Another unfortunate thing, certainly not, she didn't like wake up and say, let's make believe I have acne. I mean, no, it's something that you know, people are so cruel. Ron, people are wonderful, and they're cruel too. I have my cruel moments, I gotta tell you. I get it. We're human. We get angry. We get frustrated. Bad parts of us come out. I get that. But I would never ridicule somebody publicly in front of their face. Acne on the face or not, I would never, I don't have the meanness to say to somebody, ooh, you're ugly with that stuff on your face. I would never say something like that. I would never hurt somebody like that. But some people do. Some people do. They do it on purpose to make themselves feel better about themselves at the expense of this other person who they're destroying for the rest of their lives. Because we're human, and we have emotions, and we're destroyable. You just find the right little component inside of us, and you can hurt a human pretty good, right where it hurts. So we'll talk about that some other day, as I began talking about it today. But in the meantime, this has been a lot of fun for me. I don't even know if you're still in the room. Well, let the music play out and we'll just call it a day. I'll be back the next time another weekday rolls on, as we do a new show every single weekday. Yeah, I know. I don't understand it either. So until then, I wish you peace.